Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all.
Yesterday, in our study of 1 Samuel chapter 22, we were taught that our decisions do not just affect us, they also affect all those around us. Let's continue with that thought today.
And now, here's our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Understand, when you're anointed of God and you're in a leadership position, your bad decisions affect not only you and not only your family. Your bad decisions will affect multitudes. And my friend, it will even set a wrong example, which the devil will use to try to get multitudes to follow it. Be mindful that you are not an island to yourself in this life. Now, the first thing I want you to see is this text in verse 1. He's going to the cave of Adullam. Going to the cave reminds us of Hebrews chapter 11, verses 37 and 38, where it says, they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered about in deserts and in mountains, and here's where David comes in, and in dens and caves of the earth, all for the cause of the holiness and righteousness and will of God. Well, we'll find out that his brethren and all his father's house are going to come. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 17 tells us that a brother is born for adversity. And now David is in adversity. And yet, this is a time of humbling for David. Something that should be a help to him down the road. Sometimes in ministry, it's easy for a preacher particularly, but it can also be a youth director, it can be a pastor or some other leader in the church, you know, but especially it is the pastor. But he can get to the point where he believes that he is the one who built that church. He is the one that built that ministry. He is the one that built that best route. He is the one that built that Sunday school class. He is the one who built that youth ministry. He is the one that built that mission program. And he deserves the accolades. It simply would not have happened if it weren't for him, or in some cases for her, is the attitude. And oftentimes these leaders, whether they're a Sunday school teacher, a lay worker, or pastor, what have you, assume that what is being accomplished is through their acumen and expertise. Let me make a statement here that may kind of throw that into a tailspin. Never in the history of mankind has ingenuity been the reason for success in God's ministry among men. And often what men have deemed successful and praised men for are the very things that are non-eternal and short-lived and not a lasting ministry. On the contrary, man's feeble efforts and forceful intrusion in the work of God has been the source of ruin, tragedy, and disgrace. As the sovereign of Babylon, we must come to the end of ourselves. I like what Daniel chapter 4, verse 37 says. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, and his ways judgment. And those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. I've watched that over the years in the ministry. I've watched young men just get built up and puffed up, and God has had to bring humbling experiences in their life. And now I've learned just to kind of sit back and watch how that person gets up. Because after they go through that fall, how they get up will mean the difference. Saul fell, and he did not get upright. David falls, and he does what a fallen person needs to do. He gets right with God. Well, the time of adversity will pass, and these people that have come to be with him, they shall advance with him. They came to suffer with him. They come to live with him in his adversity. His brethren, his father's house, they all come. You know, when a family member is sick, hurt deeply, they need support. And they need support not to do wrong, the wrong thing. They need to be lifted up to the right, to righteousness. I've seen a family work hard, struggle. A family member is sick. And as hard as all other things are and all that has been required of them, somehow they're able to set it all aside to be at their loved one's side. And that'll become more important to them than their losses in business and other areas. David's family leave the homestead. Simply, there is a need. Isn't it interesting in chapter 17? The older brother of David is now chastising him. He's on his case big time. But when David's in trouble, they're together. Perhaps you've seen it growing up. A lot of times you'll see brothers, they'll fight each other like cats and dogs. But if you start beating up one, you'll have the whole family in on the fight. Okay? And so you learn not to do that. You know, your church, your local church, is your family of God. Some of us have brothers and sisters who are unsaved or far away from God. And we'll find that we actually have more in common with people in the church than we do those brothers and sisters. There are brothers and sisters by physical blood, but those people in the church are brothers and sisters through spiritual blood. Oh, how much better it is when you're physical blood brother and your physical blood sister become your spiritual blood brother, spiritual blood sister. But you'll find that there is more in common with those folks than the other. And so you go to them and they're a help and they're a blessing to you. It's your family of God through the local church. Be sure to lift one another up in the trials, help in one another's needs. Sometimes there are people that have needs that will always have needs because of their situation in life. Maybe paralysis, maybe some other malady. But then there are those that will have needs because they're lazy. They won't stick with anything. Then enabling them to continue to be lazy and to enable them to continue to be quitters is not helping them. And so you've got to seek the Lord for discernment to know the difference. Too many churches today, they follow their members first to see a man that's down, and they kick him while he's down. And maybe he has sinned, and he may need to be separated from the fellowship of the church. I don't think that happens enough. But nonetheless, even if he needs to be separated from the fellowship of the church, don't miss the fact that that young man or that young lady still needs to be encouraged to come to Christ. And the forgiveness has to be in the heart of the people that is ready to extend. So if that person does come back, it's not with the stress of the people rejecting them. The only stress is the shame they feel for their sin. Now that takes us to verse 2. So David has now fled from where he was just a few weeks earlier in Jerusalem, married to the king's daughter, living in a nice home, and now he's in a dark cave with a group of men that have fled to him. And notice verse 2. And everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented, gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them, and there were with him about 400 men. Now, how would you like to have 400 men with you, and they're all distressed, in debt, or discontented? How would you like to have 400 followers like that? Well, we see that David had those 400 men that were just like that. But this regiment is not made up of great men. They're not rich men. They're not noted as stout men. And they're not noted as men of renown. God notes them for us here as men of distress, debt, and discontent. Men of broken fortunes, restless spirits. Now, I look at our church, and maybe you can look at your church in the same way. God raised up our church, but not with liars, although we've had them, not with politicians, though we've had them, not with doctors, though we've had them. Not with the business giants of the community, although we've had them. But for the most part, the core of our church has been average, middle-class man that's struggling to make ends meet.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No break. Click Sermon Library. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no break. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.